Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, the Packers preseason is in the books. Game number four, Thursday night at Lambeau Field, a 24-10 victory. The Packers finished the preseason 3-1. But it's not the record that anybody's going to be talking about. As the roster cuts loom here Saturday afternoon, the Packers have to get down to the 53-man roster. There are going to be some tough decisions here to make.
This is always a tough time, Mike, because you get a chance to meet and know some of these young guys on this roster, and seeing them, just trying to put their best foot forward, trying to make their NFL dreams come true.
Yeah.
And for roughly over 1,000 players in the NFL this weekend, that dream will either be halted temporarily or set aside forever. That's a tough reality. It's one of the things I think makes the league great in terms of this, how high the stakes are. But also, it's always tough, too, because there's some guys that did every single thing they could do during these camps that just ultimately won't be able to make a 53.
Yeah, it's a cold-hearted business at times, I guess, is the way I like to put it. But it's just the reality. It's competitive. It's cutthroat in a lot of ways. And it's just the way it is. But it's what makes the regular season product coming up as good as it's going to be. And with that, I think when we look at this final preseason game for the Packers, evaluating personnel and whatnot and what stood out, for me it starts with those three rookie draft picks at running back. I thought Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, Devontae Mays, I thought they all showed something. They all showed what they can bring to the table in this last game, and it will be really interesting to see how this shakes out. You and I were talking in the press box during the game that they just might keep all three of these guys on the 53 when you thought at the time they were all drafted, oh, there's no way all three of them can make it. Well, maybe they will.
I think there's a big scenario in which they keep all three. Now, I don't have any inside intel on that accord. I just think that all three of the guys showed enough to Ted Thompson, this personnel department, to keep him around, take a longer look. The thing that was fascinating about this game is the Packers wanted to get Brett Hundley another half of work. So they did that in the first half, and they threw the ball a lot.
Yep.
I think it was 21 pass attempts in two quarters. Well, they come out to the second half, and they start running, and they don't stop. 23 carries for 105 yards in the second half, led off by Jamal Williams, the rookie fourth-round pick out of BYU, on a 17-play, 60-yard drive, eating almost 12 minutes off the clock. And Williams, on that particular drive, 9 of his 11 carries, including, I believe, the first 5. They really put the young man to work.
Yeah. They came out and were just determined to run the ball in the second half and see what these guys had to offer. You mentioned the 9 carries for Williams. Mays had 4 carries on that drive, 13 handoffs on that 17-play drive, and one of those 17 plays was the field goal that that ended it. So definitely a focus on the run. What stood out to me, and it's something that we've talked about before, and it was sort of reinforced in terms of my perception of these three running backs, and it's similar to what we've talked about with the young wide receivers. They all bring something a little different to the table. I think Jamal Williams is maybe the most well-rounded of the three in terms of his abilities in pass protection. I think Aaron Jones is the fastest, most explosive of the three. He had another breakout run. Second game in a row, he's gotten a crease and turned it into a long run with his speed. And I think Devontae Mays may be the most powerful of the three when you look at his lower body. He's tough to tackle, and he's also improved his pass catching out of the backfield, which is something that he didn't really do a lot of in college. He took 2 screen passes for a total of 36 yards in the first half on Thursday night. That showed a little something too.
Yeah, what was really remarkable about his journey is he's a 5'11", 230-pound back. He is a running back. He is a bell cow type player.
Yeah.
And the thing that's interesting though is he didn't really catch the ball at all at Utah State. You know more about his story than I do. I don't know how active he was in that capacity in junior college. But what's really fascinating is I think he had 2 or 3 catches in 18 games at Utah State, and then he goes out and has 5 catches for 56 yards during this preseason. I asked him after the game, with being a 230-pound guy, if he kind of feels like he's sort of underrated in what he can do in open space, and he said, that's a big part of my game too, making guys miss. And then I think also to touch on Aaron Jones for a minute, 2 of the biggest carries of this preseason, his ability to find the hole, wherever it might be, wherever it might develop, and accelerate into the second level impressed me during this camp. And you can see why during his years at UTEP, kind of became sort of a cult hero in some ways.
A home run hitter.
A home run hitter. Yeah. Just how prolific he was at being able to you know, knock out some of those big plays, and also got his first career touchdown off a one-yard touchdown pass from Brett Hundley.
Yeah. The that was his second receiving touchdown, I believe, of the preseason, correct, right? Because he had the one.
Oh, the first at Lambeau.
First one at Lambeau. He had the one in Washington, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So, and we'll just have to see how, this works out in terms of the roster numbers. You know, we've wondered whether the Packers would keep two fullbacks or just the one. Joe Karras did not play in this final preseason game due to a calf injury. That's unfortunate for him. Aaron Ripkowski, I think, we know he's going to make it. It's a question of whether they keep a second fullback. Will keeping, you know, three running backs behind Ty Montgomery, will that affect the fullback decision? Again, just something we have to wait and see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the tough part of this is the Packers, they had three draft picks in this, you know, this past year's draft, and they also had three guys returning from last year despite Eddie Lacy and James Starks' departures. So, again, like a lot of positions, some tough calls to be made.
Yeah, well, some more to talk about from this preseason finale. We'll get to that back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one. Wes, you mentioned it in the opening segment. The Packers gave another half of football to Brett Hundley, their number two quarterback. Mike McCarthy reiterating after the game that this preseason, his priority in terms of playing time at quarterback was for Brett Hundley to get as much work as possible. I didn't add it all up, but I want to say he ended up playing either eight or nine quarters total in this preseason, right around there. I thought Thursday night against the Rams, for the first time, maybe Hundley's accuracy on his throws deserted him just a little bit. He didn't seem as sharp in terms of the ball placement as we had seen in some of the other games. That being said, the one characteristic I think of this preseason for Brett Hundley as you look at it in its totality was that he just always kept battling, and when things went wrong, he didn't let it bother him. He didn't let things going wrong snowball into major problems or major stalling out, you know, repeatedly with the offense. And he still, with the help of two defensive interceptions, good field position, put two touchdowns on the board against the Rams.
Yeah, I think you summed it up perfectly, Mike. That'll be my takeaway from this preseason the most. It wasn't his first year where he had 139 passer rating or whatever it was, just something ridiculous.
Right.
With the seven touchdown passes. But he was a gamer. And he really made things work when maybe some of the pieces weren't quite in sync, or maybe there was some, you know, protection issues at times. He always found a way to keep the drive moving. And I think we actually got a chance to see some of his athleticism on those scrambles, too, this summer.
Yep.
In the past, he's been more of a pocket-type passer. And this year, really, you could see the development in terms of him being able to extend plays, look to the scramble drill, and look downfield. So very active on that account. And the other thing, too, that stands out to me, just the opportunity, I think 76 pass attempts this preseason. He had seven last summer. So when you look at probably all the boxes that Mike McCarthy wanted to check off in the preseason, I'd have to imagine that other than the team being healthy, of course, this was probably number two, getting Hundley work and making sure that you continue his development.
Yeah, and maybe his best throw, certainly of the final preseason game, maybe of the entire preseason, was one that that went for naught, so to speak. The throw to Geronimo Allison, the deep ball along the sideline early in the game against the Rams, great throw, great catch by Allison, but a good play by the Rams DB to knock him out of bounds there before he could get his feet down. So, you know, that was potentially a 40-50-yard play that ended up going for naught. But you know, Hundley has to be pleased with the opportunities the coaching staff gave him. Obviously, the Packers wanted to get Hundley as much experience as possible, as much playing time as possible, for that just-in-case scenario if something happens with Aaron Rodgers where he has to, you know, miss a game here or there or whatever might go on. Brett Hundley got as much work as he could get.
Yeah, and Hundley said that in the locker room afterwards, too, that I mean, a part of him, it is difficult to hand the reins back over to Rodgers.
Yeah,
now
exactly.
He wants to play. This is a guy who played a lot and early and often when he was at UCLA. So having to sit, it does take its toll a little bit, especially after how inactive he was last year. But at the same time, he understands his role. He understands that this team revolves around 12. He's ready to fill that role now, and hopefully down the line, however long it might be, he can find himself in an opportunity to compete for a starting job in this league.
Yeah, and then in the second half against the Rams, we saw undrafted rookie Taysom Hill, the 27-year-old from BYU. He moved ahead of Joe Callahan in the playing order for the first time in the preseason. And we talked about that long field goal drive with all the handoffs. But then Hill also added a touchdown pass, 25 yards, to Aaron Peck on a little bit of a scramble. You know, was on the run, throwing a little bit off balance, but found the open man, threw a good ball, and got himself yet another preseason touchdown drive. You know, not a whole lot of negative you can say about Taysom Hill's play, considering his background, where he came from, and the odds in some ways that were stacked against him in terms of being able to perform in his first NFL preseason.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. I want to start off with one point. You know, we talk so often about the safety position, you know, and where they've developed from in 4 years since 2013. How about that quarterback position for the Packers? I mean, it was 4 years ago that we were sitting here watching, you know, Vince Young in Kansas City trying to make a case to be the number two after being a late call-up. Days later, they end up cutting both of their quarterbacks.
Yeah,
they signed Seneca Wallace.
Yeah, they emptied the coffers after the last preseason game and started over.
Yeah, and to be in this situation with both, because you got to give your, you know, tip your cap to Joe Callahan, too. He didn't get as many opportunities this camp as he did last year with Hundley's injury. But him and Taysom Hill both impressed me. Hill's athleticism is remarkable. I mean, he has an incredibly explosive first step. But the thing that was interesting is he also knows when to curtail it and look downfield. He did that on the 25-yard touchdown pass to Aaron Peck. Could have easily darted out and tried to run for the first down.
And that was on third and 15,
right,
as well. That was correct. That was a back against the wall kind of play. You're in third and long, and he made the right call and made the right throw.
Yeah, and he ends up finishing the preseason, I think, with 121 passer rating. If nothing else, after all the time, after all the games he missed due to injury at BYU, I think he has to hold his head high regardless of what happens this weekend based on the performance he put on the field this preseason.
Yeah, now the question obviously with Hill that everybody will wonder is, will the third quarterback for the Packers be on the 53-man roster, or will they expose him to waivers and hope that he clears so they can bring him back to the practice squad? I don't even know if I can make a prediction. I'm not sure how this is going to go.
It's really hard to say, because the same thing with Joe Callahan being,
yep,
available too. Two guys that both, I think, really can play in this league, and it's just going to be a question of where all the chips fall.
Yeah, well, another wait-and-see moment there. But with that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford sitting alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, shifting gears to the defense from this preseason finale, we saw two young cornerbacks make big plays here for the Packers. First off, third-year man Ladarius Gunter got off to a slow start in training camp. There were some questions as to maybe just where he was going to fit in. But then in the latter part of training camp, moved to the slot position as opposed to being on the boundary where he was used to, and really showed up in the slot against the Rams, gets a sack off of a slot blitz, and then a couple of plays later, a deflected pass. He's Johnny on the spot there for the interception to set up a touchdown for the Packers. A really good finish to the preseason for Gunter.
Yeah, it was, Mike, and it's nice to see him be able to make that play too on the ball, because obviously it was kind of popped up after the drop. But a lot of times, you know, cornerbacks, it's tough to finish that play. And I think when you go back to the 2016 season, Gunter had mentioned there was numerous spots where he felt like he could have had a pick. I mean, there was that one, I forget who it was against in the end zone at Lambeau Field last year, where it looked like he was going to be able to make a big play.
That's right.
He just ends up dropping it. So to finish that, I think, is really big for him. But also to be able to fill in at that star slot position that you're talking about. He's naturally a boundary corner. That's typically been where he's played. But I think he also understands that the amount of depth they have at that position now, it's imperative for him to be able to show that he can play wherever they're going to move him. If they want to go with him inside in the slot, he's going to be able to step up to that challenge. He did it a little bit last year before all the injuries started and they needed him outside.
Right.
So there
right.
is a little bit of a basis there. And he said it's just really getting a lot more comfortable with the defense, And then also, in addition to that interception out of the slot, being able to pull off the corner blitz too. 6'1", 6'2", whatever he comes in at, 200 pounds, that he's a good guy to have in there, and you know, a guy that can come down and almost act like a safety in that spot when he does get near the quarterback.
Yeah, and I will say, I don't think the Rams did the Packers any favors in terms of really challenging the Packers' defense, because they rested their top two quarterbacks. They played their number three, Dan Orlovsky, for the entire game. Orlovsky, you know, really struggled all game long and never really got anything going. But that being said, the Packers did take advantage of his mistakes, probably could have had even more than the two interceptions. The second interception coming from an undrafted rookie, Donatello Brown, of Valdosta State.
Yes. Yeah, way to go.
You wonder what this means for this young man. Now, that was a nice athletic play, a good read as Orlovsky was kind of scrambling, trying to extend the play. He makes the interception. Now, does that mean possibly he makes the Packers 53-man roster, or does that attract enough attention where if he is released, is he claimed on waivers by another team and he gets a job, or will the Packers then bring him back on the practice squad? I think it maybe opens up some more possibilities for a young man who was – one of those guys, I think, that like you talked about before, was doing everything that he could during training camp, but hadn't really had that big standout moment, right. And he finally got it against the Rams.
He really did, Mike, and Aaron Rodgers had such a great comment about this earlier in the week when he was addressing the media, saying that, you know, this is the game where they really do preach to these guys. He's like, you want to be here, you want to make the 53, you want to have your opportunity to continue on in Green Bay, but that film is going to be available to everybody in the NFL.
Yep.
A lot of talented undrafted rookies that the Packers brought in this year. You're not going to be able to keep them all. From Brown's perspective, a big, lengthy cornerback, I think he made the most of that opportunity, being able to get that interception and bring it back for 22 yards. And then also a guy like Daquan Holmes late in the game, almost, as you mentioned, nearly had a pick of Orlovsky as well.
Right.
So I thought a lot of those guys stepped up to the challenge. You know, Joe Witt has talked to them about consistency, a lot of these young cornerbacks being able to stack success game after game, week after week. And for a lot of these guys, I thought they did that.
Yeah, I mean, Holmes, I remember he was the guy who got the fourth down pass breakup, I believe, in Washington, you know, in that tight finish there late in the fourth quarter. He really would have been able to put a cherry on top of his preseason, so to speak, if he had been able to haul in that that interception. But again, roster decisions are coming, and the Packers are going to have some tough calls.
Yeah, cornerback's a tough one, you know, because you do have Devon House back. He was able to play in this game, played a series early on, got a tackle. Kevin King did not play, but is also in the picture as well there. You got the three third-year cornerbacks, a lot of guys competing for roles in addition to roster spots.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, before we go to break, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 11 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/bestseats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford next to Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, before we go, just to run down the procedure here now as far as how the roster cuts work. The Packers, as well as all other teams in the league, have to have their rosters down to the mandated 53 players by 3 p.m. Central Time on Saturday. Once that deadline passes, then all players who have been released who are not vested veterans are exposed to waivers. And waiver claims and whatnot can be put in. If you claim a player on waivers, he has to go on your 53-man roster, so then you have to make room for him. The Packers are quite low in the waiver claim order because it's the same as the draft order for the first round. So the Packers would be 29th in the waiver claim order if they were to put a claim in on a player that other teams are also wanting to claim. But then come noon on Sunday, I believe it's noon Central Time on Sunday, the waiver period is over, and then players who have cleared waivers are eligible to be signed to practice squad contracts. So a lot of roster machinations here over Labor Day weekend. And then come Monday, I believe, is when the Packers will be back on the practice field with essentially the roster that they will have for week one.
Yeah, and if that wasn't enough, let me make it a little bit more complicated when you look at the reserve list. The regular season PUP list right. needs to be figured out. Vince Beagle would be a candidate for that. Guys can be placed on injured reserve right away, too, during the final roster reduction. Now with the rule changes that they made with the return from designated to return label,
right.
you no longer have to keep a guy on the 53, then place him on IR. You're able to put him on IR, and at any point in which you feel that they're ready to return after 8 weeks, you can activate them. So Montrevious Adams, the third-round pick out of Auburn, what do the Packers decide to do there? Have to see how things are going with Don Barkley, their top offensive lineman on the interior. So a lot of things to sort out in addition to just making a lot of calls on these young first, second, and third-year players trying to make a bid for the active roster.
Yeah, and a lot of decisions sometimes come down to, with some young players, they try to calculate what are the odds that this guy might get claimed. They may be more interested in having him on the practice squad, but then you have to risk exposing that guy and allowing another team to claim him. So all of those calculations go into it, and then you have your numbers at different positions and players who you feel earned a spot on the 53-man roster. So a lot of things that the Packers will be taking into account here in the decision-making process.
Yeah, and as you said earlier, Mike, the number three quarterback position is the one I'm going to find to probably be the most compelling this weekend. Last year with Brett Hundley being injured with the ankle injury, they kind of made their decision for them in keeping Joe Callahan, and then when they released him later on, the Saints claimed him on waivers.
He was claimed, yep.
These things happen. It's usually probably once or twice every few years you have a guy get claimed by another team, so that's why they paid Ted Thompson the big bucks and his personnel department. They have to sit down with the coaching staff, figure out what the best path is, and try to make the best decision you can.
Yeah, definitely. Well, with that, we will call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted and on the Packers preseason. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you in the regular season.